We're turning this morning to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel, chapter 34. And we'll be breaking into verse 26. But I just wanted to give a little background information to this chapter. It's about God's providence over His flock. That the Lord, the Good Shepherd, sees to it that His people are protected and cared for. And that's the theme of the chapter. And it's important to understand that when we read the Scripture, that we know the context, that we know what the thrust of the idea is. So with that in mind, let's begin our reading at verse 26. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke. And delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, that even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. With the scripture open, let us just bow in a brief word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank Thee for the Good Shepherd, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who watches over His flock. Lord, where would we be today if it were not for the Good Shepherd? For we, like sheep, are dumb. We go astray. We go our own way. But we thank Thee for the faithfulness of the Good Shepherd, who despite our rebellion and stubbornness and sinfulness, in His mercy brings us back. Lord, we thank Thee for Your restraint. We thank Thee for Your grace. We thank Thee for Your love. We pray this morning, Father, that as we would consider Thy Word, that Thou wilt show to us how indeed You are the Good Shepherd, that You are the caring pastor, that You are the one who feeds the flock, that You do come and bless Thy people. Lord, we need to be blessed today. We need to meet with God. We are a blessed people, but Father, how much more we need to know the blessing of God in our lives. So Father, come this morning and speak to us. Lord, hide this man behind the cross, that I might not be heard or seen, but that the word of God might go forth in great demonstration of power, that Jesus Christ might be glorified, that Jesus Christ might be lifted up, that Jesus Christ might have all the preeminence. So, Lord, we pray, therefore, help us, send to us the Holy Spirit, that we might truly worship Thee as we ought. Save us from ourselves. Save us from idolatry. Save us from man worship. Save us from vain and empty worship. And give us the true Spirit to worship the Lord Jesus Christ as we ought. So bless us now. Bless Thy people. Feed them, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse I'd like to focus in on this morning is verse 26. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Drought. It causes all of us to some extent concern, especially those who are farmers. When there is no rain, the quality of the crop suffers. When there is no rain, The quality of life suffers. When there is no rain, we suffer. But when rain comes, it is a welcome sight. And when it comes, it can make all the difference in the world. So you can look outside even today, we see how dry and brown the grass is because there's no rain. We can sympathize with the farmers, how they depend upon the rain to give them the crop to support their families, to provide for themselves. They need the rain. They pray for the rain. They depend upon the rain. This is not only true in the area of agriculture, but it's also true in the area of spiritual things. We see all around us, don't we, the drought of the preaching of the Word of God. We see all around us the drought of prayerlessness, where men and women, boys and girls are starving for the Word of God. And preachers are throwing to them the husks of entertainment, the husks of the world. And God's true people are starving for the Word of God. But there's a drought. Where do we go to hear the Word of God? Where do we go to pray with God's people in a way that we truly meet with God and His people? And it's a blessing to us and to our families. Therefore, because of this drought, there's a drought of blessing. We are all too familiar with these conditions, aren't we? Many of us know exactly what I'm saying here. We've gone, we've visited, we've taken the journey to see where we could get our souls fed and nourished. And it's hard to find a place where our souls receive blessing, receive nourishment from the Word of God. We come here to this place where we're so thankful for Pastor Bannister, who preaches the Word week in and week out and feeds our souls with the bread of life. What a blessing it is. So what are we to do when we go through these times of drought? Not only the drought that we see around us, but even that drought, that dryness, that deadness that is even within our own souls. What are we to do? Well, this passage this morning in Ezekiel provides God's people with encouragement and hope as they live in a world with so much deadness and dryness. And it provides us with hope that will give us more of a love for Christ and for His people. We read in verse 26, "And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in a season. There shall be showers of blessing." When I read that verse, my soul burst with such promise. Here was the Lord saying, "There shall be showers of blessing." What a verse. No wonder why you can see why I want to preach this morning. Because this verse is so full, so much truth in it to preach, not only to me, but to God's people. There shall be showers of blessing. This verse is for you and for me to consider, to pray over, and to hope in. This morning, therefore, the title of this message is simply Showers of Blessing. Showers of Blessing. And the first thing I would like to consider is the nature of this blessing. The nature of this blessing. Notice, showers of blessing. This is a great promise for God's people. When we see a shower, when we see a rain shower, it pours, doesn't it? Anybody outside yesterday? My wife and I and my in-laws went downtown, and it was around 10 in the morning. We got downtown. We were all excited about walking around the canal, beautiful area of the city. We went to the museum and we were all excited, and one problem, started to rain. Not only did it just sprinkle, it poured. I mean, it came down. And I thought, how appropriate to see this happening yesterday, how appropriate it is to bring it up this morning. This is the nature of God's blessing to His people. He just doesn't drop blessings. He just doesn't sprinkle us with blessing. He showers us with blessing. It's saturation. Saw some people walking out in the rain. They were saturated. They were soaked. I was glad to be in the car, but they were soaked. They were saturated. My point is, that's the way God blesses us as His people. And it's because of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the nature of the blessing that God has for His people. He does not hold back at all the blessing. He showers us with blessing. And that's the nature of it, the blessing for God's people. We ought not to think that our God is a God who just gives us a little and says, that's enough for you now. I'm just not going to go overboard anymore. You've had enough blessing. Enough's enough. The Lord is generous. He's abundant. He saturates us with blessing. And every child of God, if I could have them come up here and give their testimony, would say that God saturated me with His blessing, with His love, with His grace, with His mercy, with His faithfulness. Testimony after testimony would be to the showers of blessing. Wouldn't it be true in your life? Amen. That's the nature of the blessing that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ does not hold back, but He pours upon us. He saturates upon His people. The blessing upon us. What a truth to consider and to meditate upon today, isn't it, as God's people, that He saturates us. And perhaps you're going through some troubles, you're going through some trials, and you don't feel like the Lord is really saturating your life with too many blessings. But this is the Word of God. When we read the Scripture, we have to think, this Scripture is for me. This Scripture isn't for someone else. This isn't for someone that is always, things are always working out for them. Don't you see? Look at them. They always fall on their feet. And things always work out for them. It's not for those people. It's for you who is a child of God, who's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says the showers of blessing, the nature of the blessing of God is that saturation. And that ought to comfort you. That ought to encourage you. Sometimes we get so focused and so bogged down on our trials and on our troubles that we forget of all the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the nature of the blessing. Showers. There's no one else who gives to His people the type of blessing that Jesus Christ gives to His people. There's no one else. He holds nothing back. He spares no good thing from His people. But He showers them. That's the first point I'd like to consider, is the nature of this blessing. The showers. The many blessings that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, secondly, the need for blessing. I will make them in the places round about. Look around. Look around. In this place. And you're going to see that there's a great need for blessing. There's a great need for blessing. In this local area, in this little town here, there's a great need for the blessing of God. And that's what we need to realize as God's people. But people need to receive the blessing of the Lord. I will make them in the places round about. Isn't the prayer of God's people here this morning that the area here, this local area, our neighborhood, our friends, our family that live in this area, that they might experience the blessing of God? There's a great need to reach our local community with the gospel. to communicate the love and grace of Jesus Christ to our friends and neighbors here in this area? Isn't there a great need? When we had the Bible Vacation Bible Club, some of us went out and we went over to that development and over to neighboring developments, and we were handing out flyers and leaflets to tell people about the love of Christ and the mercy of Christ in the gospel. And we were had the privilege of having children come for a whole week to hear the gospel and to be under the means of grace. Because we sense there's a need. We've got to go out there. Because people are dying. People are drying up. They have no clue, no idea of the blessing of Jesus Christ. They don't know the blessings of God. There's a need there that must be real in our hearts as we go out into our neighborhoods, in our local areas. And when God saw in Ezekiel, He looked around and saw the deadness and the famine-like conditions and the devastation of the land, He said, I will make them in the places round about. Isn't that a great promise to bring to the Lord? To say, Lord, You have said that You will bring blessing to this area and to the area round about. We need it, Lord. We need the Lord to move. We need the blessing of God. Do you have that urgency, that need, that zeal today to go out and to tell others that we are a church that stands for Christ and for His Word, and we're not ashamed of it? And we want you to be under the blessings of that ministry. We want you to be under the blessings of a ministry like Pastor Bannister, who preaches the gospel faithfully, week in and week out. People need to hear that. They don't need to be entertained in church. They don't need to be tickled and told the things that they want to hear in church. They need to hear the Word of God. They need to be confronted with their sin. They need to be confronted with the grace of Christ. They need to be confronted with the person and work of Jesus Christ. They need this. And that will be a blessing to them. That will be a blessing to us as we see people come in and sit under the means of grace. So we not only see the nature of the blessing, we see the need of the blessing. We need to have a burden to see God bless in this area. We are the only Free Presbyterian Church in this area. I'm not saying that we're the only faithful church in the area, but we have to pray that the Lord will bring people in under the sound of the ministry. We need the Lord to move. We need the Lord to bless. We need the Lord to bring people in so that they will be blessed. Because we're blessed, right? If we're blessed, we want other people to be blessed. They need that. That's the whole point. They need it. But they will not know it unless the Spirit of God works in their hearts and shows that to them. I could tell someone you need the gospel and Christ until I'm blue in the face. But if they don't realize their need, if they don't realize and wake up and say, I need Christ, I need the blessing, you can't force a person to come. They must come. But we have to be faithful. We have to be burdened. We have to see that need for blessing in our church. And I believe the Lord will. I believe the Lord will move. Because the Lord has raised up a faithful band of people here. Wherever the Lord raises up a faithful band of people here, they will have a need. They will have a burden to see the blessing of God. And we're seeing the Lord move. We're seeing the Lord work. And it's encouraging, isn't it, brethren, to see that before us. What a blessing. Not only the nature, the need, but notice the blessing. Notice the purpose of blessing. Notice the purpose of blessing. It says in the verse, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. The showers of blessing One of the purposes is to make us a blessing. Do you see that? You may miss it in the verse. But God blesses His people so that they can be a blessing. So that they can go out and tell others. When people look at us, do they see us as a blessed people? Or do they see us as a miserable people? Do they see us as a complaining people? Do they see us as a people that are no different than them? Part of the showers of blessing is to reveal to us one of the purposes of blessing, and that is that we must be a blessing. God blesses so that we can go out and bless. Isn't that true? God blesses me. Boy, that's great. I'm just going to keep it all to myself. I'm going to just rejoice in my own heart. I'm not going to share it with anybody. I'm just going to be, you know, just a happy person and not tell anybody. What's the purpose of the showers of blessing? If we're not blessing, if we're not going out and telling people, look, this is what the Lord has done for me. Look at what the Lord has done for my soul and helped me in this area and that area of my life. That's the purpose of the showers of blessing. To be the blessing. To be those who tell people about Christ. Psalm 1, I'm sure everyone's familiar with that psalm to an extent. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The showers of blessing lead to us being blessings, meaning that we will not be like the world. We will not sit in the seat of the scornful. We will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We will not partake in the deeds of wickedness. And that's part of being a blessing. That's part of being a blessing. Being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's part of the purpose of the showers when they come down. That when we go out and we live lives for Christ, are we living blessed lives? Are we living lives that bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ? Are we living just like the world? Are we sitting in the seat of the scornful? Are we walking in the ways of the ungodly? That's not being a blessing. That's not. And sadly to say, you see that today, the Christians, professed Christians, they say that they're Christians, but they live like the world. They live like sinners. And they're not blessings at all. More so, they're curses more than blessings. But God says, I will pour out upon you showers of blessings so that you will be a blessing. So your life will be a blessing. When you go to work and people look at your life, do they see there's a blessed man? There's a man, he's different. He is different. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different about this man. And sometimes you even get a person to come up to you and say, you know, you don't curse. You don't use swear words. There's something different about you. I'm a blessed man. I'm redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's the difference. Christ is the difference. There's got to be a difference. So when the showers of blessing come, we're going to be the blessing to go and tell others about Christ. Our life, our testimony, our consistent walk with the Lord. And that's what I believe this verse is getting at. That even Israel, God's chosen nation, those nations around her who hated her, who wanted to destroy her, even to this day, Palestine wants to destroy Israel. This great animosity that goes back thousands and thousands of years. One thing's going to be true that the enemies cannot turn their eyes away from, and that is Israel's a blessed people. We hate them. We despise them. But God has blessed them. And that's what God is saying here. Even your enemies, even those who hate you and surround you with great hostility and great harm, they're going to say they're a blessed people. God's with them. If you go into your house, someone comes into your house, God's with that person. God's with that family. God's with that husband. God's with that wife. God is with that home. That's part of being the blessing. That's part of showing that there have been showers of blessing upon you, and you are being the blessing. And that's part of the meaning of this verse. Are you being a blessing, brother, in your home, at work, in your family? Be honest. Are you being a blessing? Are you more so being a stumbling block? You have to answer that before the Lord today. So far we have considered the nature of blessing, the need of blessing, the purpose of blessing. But notice fourthly, the source of blessing. It says, "And I will cause a shower to come down in his season." Who does this? Who brings the showers? Who brings the blessing? It's Christ. Christ is the source of blessing. We're not the source of blessing. We're the source of trouble. We're the source of problems. If it's left up to me, if it's left up to you, be honest. Are you really going to be a blessing? You're going to mess everything up. We serve a Christ who is the source of blessing. He is the one that brings the showers. He is the one that controls the showers. No man can't create rain, can they? They can't produce rain. Maybe one of these days they will come up with some machine to do that. But at this point, they can't create it. That's the physical realm. God sends the rain. Even a little child knows that, right? So it's also in the spiritual realm. It's in the realm of revival. It's in the realm of blessing. They must come from Christ. He's the source of blessing. Men try to work it up. They try to manipulate it. They try to somehow fabricate blessing. You can't do it. You cannot produce blessing as much as you can produce rain. You just cannot do it. If you go to a farmer and say, "Look, tell, make it rain. Make it rain." Believe me, the farmer's going to want to have it rain as much as anybody. I believe, yeah, I do. But I can't make it rain. I can't create one drop. It's the same in the realm of the spiritual. It's the same in the realm of souls being saved and blessings being poured out. We cannot create one anxious thought. We cannot produce these blessings. And yet we see churches, they try to produce the blessings. They try to say, "We had 150 decisions for Christ. We're blessed people." We try to manufacture, manipulate revival, and try to put guilt on people so that because of their guilt and because there's so much pressure to make a decision, they come forward just to get the preacher off their back. And they come forward and they accept Christ. Is that a blessing? That's no blessing. That's man's way of trying to produce the blessing. Trying to force blessing. And that's what Charles Finney did in these great revival, so-called revival meetings back in the 1800s. Charles Finney introduced this way of trying to produce blessing, trying to force men to accept Christ. And as they make a decision and as they raise their hands for Christ and as they do this and do that, that's the sign of blessing. But the next week, the men are back into their own sin. Drunkard that professed Christ one week is back in the bar drinking. Is that a blessing? God's blessing, the source of blessing is from God. And when God saves someone, He saves them. That's a blessing. Because He's the source of blessing. The Lord controls the showers. The Lord times the showers. He says in His season. Boy, you know, I would love to have revival every single day of my life. I would love to have revival every single moment of my life. That's my desire. Isn't it? If you're a child of God, isn't that the desire that you have? Be able to turn it on constantly? We're not the source of blessing. It's God who turns the blessing. He turns it on and turns it off at His will. The timing of blessing is in the hand of the Lord. What we need to be doing, brethren, is being faithful to the Lord. Pray for the blessing. Pray that the Lord will pour out His Spirit upon the congregations. Save sinners. Sanctify saints. That's what we are to do. It's up to God to pour out that blessing in His great timing. You know, God's timetable is perfect. We need to learn to wait upon the Lord because He's the source of blessing. And when we wait upon the Lord, we will see genuine blessings. We won't see superficial blessing. We won't see blessings that don't last. We will see lasting blessings when God moves. We must learn to wait upon the Lord. We must acknowledge that He is the source of all blessing. And then lastly and finally, I'd like to deal with the promise of blessing. Read the last words with me. There shall be showers of blessing. It's a promise. Whenever I see a promise in the Scripture, I get a little excited about it. Because that means if God promises it, then it's going to happen. So that means I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to say, well, Lord promised it. He's going to do it. I won't have to do anything. Is that our response? What are we to do when we read a promise from the Lord? If it excites us and gets us encouraged, what is our response when we read a promise? We're to pray it over. We're to bring it to the Lord in prayer. There's an old preacher that once said that if the Lord says it, then we can pray it. If the Lord says it, then we can pray it. We need to pray this promise constantly because it is a promise from the Lord. The Lord's the promise keeper. He doesn't break His promises. Men break promises. They don't keep promises, but the Lord never breaks the promise. And the Lord says, there shall be showers of blessing. There will be showers of blessing. It's just old unbelief that'll say, there will not be showers of blessing. That's what we say a lot of times, isn't it? In our hearts, God says there shall be, and we say there will not be showers of blessing. Isn't it really, when we really examine ourselves, that's what unbelief is? Because we're not going to be a blessed, the promise won't come about because circumstances are too tough. Lord, you don't understand the area that we live in. People just don't care about Christ. That's why it's not going to be. The promise is not going to be fulfilled. Is there anything too hard for our God to move people over that development to come in to hear God's Word? Are we going to be like the 10 spies who went into the Promised Land and saw the beauty and riches of the land and came back and told the people, it's a great land, it is a prospering land, but don't go in there. You're not going to be able to survive, you're not going to be able to live because of the giants. They weren't exercising faith in the promises of God. They were exercising unbelief in their own heart. Was it Joshua and Caleb said, no, but we must go. Because God said it, I believe it, we must pray over it. And who entered the promised land, as we heard last week? Those 10 men didn't. They died in the wilderness. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, because they believed in the promise of God. We must remember that the showers of blessing involves a promise. And that means that we do not do anything. That means that we just say, well, it's all up to the Lord and we have no responsibility at all. We need to learn to pray God's promises back to Him constantly and continually that the Lord might indeed bring the showers of blessing into our lives and sustain us and maintain us as we pray over the Word of God. Take this promise to the Lord in prayer, brethren. And those who are here and do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who have never had their sins forgiven, the greatest blessing that God can shower upon you is salvation through Jesus Christ, to be washed from your sins, to be redeemed by His precious blood. That's the blessing you need this morning. Do you know these showers of blessing in your life? Only you know. And only God knows. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are just so overwhelmed at the showers of blessing that are ours in Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess that so often we don't think upon the showers. We're so discouraged and so overwhelmed by our circumstances and our feelings that we just look at you as giving us little drops. But Lord, thy word says showers. Lord, prove this first to us. Lord, show us the showers. Saturate us with thy love and grace and power so that we as God's people might indeed be a blessing to those that are around us. We do thank thee for thy precious word, Lord. We thank thee that thy word is true and never changes. And we pray this morning that as the word went out, that it might truly work in the hearts of the hearers. That it might not just be a word that goes in and out of the ear, but that it might lodge in the heart. And that it might be deep in the heart. That it might be a word to help even this week as we go back into a dry and barren land. So Lord, bless us now and continue on with us. Depart us with thy presence. Give us the joy of the Lord that we might go from this place rejoicing in knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we have a great high priest, even the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.